We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Show. We're talking Saturday's five-game slate at DraftKings. I'm Adam Zdroik, joined by Jordan Cooper at Blender HD and Ryan Belangi at Ryan Belangi. And yes, we're in the fourth week, and we already have two King of the Pitch tickets. I have zero. Jordan has one, and Ryan won one last week. So this is, you know, this show. You don't count me in this discussion, but guys, congrats on your tickets. And
there's no Johnny on this slate, so you have no chance of winning a ticket.
Yeah, I know. That's the problem. That's the issue. We need Johnny to have success now that he's playing center back again. At least he was last match. But this slate's a little different. Last week it was we didn't have like a top 10 club. Before that, we had maybe one Liverpool team, maybe one Manchester City. Now we have Liverpool, Manchester City, and Chelsea all in extremely favorable positions. Above two goals implied, Jordan in cash games. Everyone is going Pascal Gross over Salah on Haaland. Is that correct?
Hold on. Before we get into it, you got to touch on.
All right.
Last week, a little, it was nice to get an early King of the Pitch ticket. You know, the RotoWire is going to retain the King of the Pitch this season. So that's a good start for me and Jordan to each have one. But Jordan, I was shocked and saddened to see you play three defenders in cash last week.
Oh, that's right.
When three midfielders was clearly the construction.
I don't even remember. What did I do?
I believe you played Anthony Robinson and Justin.
Alongside who? I don't remember last week. It's a long time.
That's good.
Who did I not play? I didn't play Damari Gray, and that killed me.
Right, yeah. You played Madison and Pereira, and then Nico Williams, Anthony Robinson, and Justin.
And who did I play at forward?
Oh, you spent up twice, Eze and Gordon.
Okay,
I was assuming that
what happened is that when McNeil wasn't in and Gordon was going to play wide, I said, "I don't want to get stuck with this dinky do crap."
Yeah,
like let me just prioritize. I'll play Gordon with Eze and then figure it out from there rather than punt it forward.
You know, to be honest, you still would have cashed. You would have cashed if D Cordova Reed didn't score. And I guess just to back you up a little, I noticed that Saramek also played three defenders. So, I mean, maybe it wasn't the worst thing in the world.
Well, did Saramek win, though?
I don't think so. Maybe he's got something to learn, too.
on this slate in cash games.
Yeah, go ahead. Get into this slate.
Okay, this is the type of slate in cash games where your 2v2 will be a 45-point difference. Right. Like, it's going to be one of those slates where if you get it right, your 2v2 or 3v3, you're going to smooth sail, and then if you don't get it right, you could be really bad. And both types of constructions, you'll look at and go, I think that's perfectly fine. It's just a matter of did Salah score a hat trick, or did Haaland score, or did Kevin De Bruyne only put up 12 points versus 36? I mean, like, it's going to, to me, it's going to really come down to that, because it's not just having, like, I almost feel like on, like, the Manchester City slates, where it's like, we got one team that has a higher total than everyone else at home, you know, against a crap team. And it's like, well, how much do you need? We got two of those teams on this slate. And we even got a third one that is, that on any other slate would possibly be a priority. So it's a matter, I think, this may not be a like a cash game mentality, but more of a small field mentality of, you have to decide, I think, or at least some type of decision must be made on, would you rather try to score the highest floor or ceiling from getting the right mix of both teams, or decide to just bet on one team and make sure to get all as many of their points? So, for instance, obviously, we'd want to start. I know we started forward, but we're still talking about construction in general. That I'd like to start with Kevin De Bruyne and Trent Alexander-Arnold, right? Yeah. And just plug those in, and then let's see how everything fits in from there, right? And then if I take a piece of Liverpool here, a piece of Man City there, you know, get some value from another team there, I'm good. But I think it's absolutely viable to just say, instead of playing Kevin De Bruyne, I'm just going to play all the Liverpool players. I'm just going to go down. I'm going to play Alexander-Arnold, Robertson, Salah, Diaz, Elliott, Alisson. I'll punt with Van Dijk. I'm like, you're going to play six players from Liverpool. But you could also do the same for Man City. You may just go, I'm playing Foden, De Bruyne, Haaland, Cancelo, right? You did Ederson, and you just plug in guys like that and go, well, if Man City score three or four goals and Liverpool score three or four goals, probably the scores aren't going to be that different from each other. And you just don't have to worry about guessing on, well, do I play Foden or do I play Luis Diaz? Right? Like that type of question in a lineup that may have, well, do I play Trent Alexander-Arnold? Or if I do, I play Andrew Robertson and Luis Diaz, or Andrew Robertson and Phil Foden, or do I play Luis Diaz and Jose Cancelo? Now, they're not correlated to one another because you're playing guys of opposite teams. And maybe the median projection of one is higher than the other, but for the sake of like maybe ulcers or whatever, maybe you just decide to go, well, let me just bet on more on one team than the other. And if all things go probabilistically, like they'll probably both score a lot of points anyway.
Yeah, so that's what I'm going to do in tournaments. For sure. Do you think that's like viable for cash?
Yeah, also, if you it's over correlate. I can understand in GPPs going, I'm going to stack a team with like four or five players. I'm talking about over. I'm talking about playing six. I'm talking about just going like you get to a certain point where the correlation actually becomes negative because there's only so many touches that could go around in a game unless they score eight goals or something. So yeah, I'm just saying it's like we don't have you if you play Diaz, Firmino, Salah, Alexander-Arnold, Robertson, like individually, maybe Diaz and Firmino are not necessarily, and even Salah at his price based on lineup construction, aren't like the greatest of like individual cash plays. But it's like, well, do I have to guess between who scores the goals on Liverpool? No, I'm just going to, as long as Liverpool scores goals, I probably got points.
Yeah. it's tough. I've gone back and forth on how to attack this slate. Like you said at the start, do you just put the best plays in, like De Bruyne, Alexander, whoever else? I thought about, you know, stacking, like you said, but it seems tough. Like Liverpool, I guess, seem the most appealing to do that with because they have Alexander-Arnold, Robertson, Salah. You can get goals there, and they have some cheap guys too. But City, like, I don't know. What if Haaland scores a hat trick? You know, Foden, those guys. Do you trust that? Can Cancelo's not, I mean, he's not as good as the other defenders on this slate. Are you really going to add him to a cash lineup over those other players?
And then I'm not saying him specifically. I'm just saying just the thought process of instead of worrying about which player, you're just worried about which team.
So I was actually thinking something different, and I don't know, maybe this is dumb, but you know, we have a lot of expensive defenders to play, pay for on this slate, like in good spots. You definitely want to play Alexander Arnold. And at least as far as I can see, there's really not punts that you want to play. There's not really a punt forward or punt midfield that like stand out as great plays, at least to me. So, I mean, it's weird. What if you didn't pay up at defender? I mean, and, you know, jam the best plays instead of, you know, instead of taking like a 4-point guy at forward and a 4-point guy at midfield or whatever. I don't know. It's not something I really ever
Brian,
consider.
For GPPs, I think that's awful.
You think that's awful?
No, I think for the main reason that forwards, cheap forwards, have much wider ranges of outcome.
Well, no, I know. But what I'm saying is, which one's going to score on this slate?
Yeah, but to not take any, imagine going, okay, I'm gonna try to dinky do this slate.
Okay, well,
like if you dinky do this slate, at least when you're playing forwards, you're playing guys that, like, even though they're cheap, they're going to score. They have more of a chance of scoring goal.
Right, okay,
when you play a $2,500 central defender,
yeah,
it's very hard for them to score double digits.
Right, I know, but I guess I know we're jumping all over the place here, but
you're trying to find a way to play Salah and Haaland and De Bruyne together.
No, definitely not. Sorry, I'll just the cash construction is so easy for me. I mean, and it's not
that easy. Come on,
it's so easy. Listen,
so easy, so easy.
Listen to how easy this is. Put in Trent, Robertson, and Chilwell. Put in De Bruyne. Put in Phil Foden, and then the rest of your team will fit perfectly.
Why is Phil Foden a must?
Okay, he's not. He's not at all. Play Luis Diaz if you want there.
Why is that so easy?
It's perfectly.
I'm saying this to Ryan. It's like, oh my God, you're looking at my cash line. That's why you said it's easy. And I'm like, oh, okay, maybe it is easy.
Do you have that too?
Yes.
Yeah, because okay, so just another point for forward, why I like kind of said that, and I would bet somebody right now. Look at the forwards, 6K and below. I think it would be a favorite for none of them to score on Saturday. Every forward on the slate, 6K and below. I think it might be a favorite that none of them score. So that's why I was thinking about maybe different kind of construction. But, you know, we can get into that. I don't know. Adam, where do you
want to go? What? Come on.
We just rambled about a million things.
So you guys
plays cash games 1 week. Yeah, I love that. Jack Burkhart plays cash games 1 week. Nope, I'm going undefeated this season.
So you guys are off Pascal Gross in cash games. That's what I'm getting at. Like, why go with Pascal Gross when you can get Phil Foden as a much bigger favorite on Manchester City, or Luis Diaz with great goal odds? Is that the thought process here?
Right, I would rank Foden over Gross, but I mean, I could see you playing Gross over Diaz at least. I mean, I'm not a big fan of Pascal Gross, but he's home against Leeds. But like for 8,800, with all these guys up here,
you need more goal upside.
Yes, but that's really the main point. It's like yes, I think Gross has the highest floor, meaning that if you took away goals and assists, Gross probably scores the most peripherals out of a lot of these players. But from a ceiling perspective of like when Liverpool and Man City are this bigger favorites, I mean, do you really want to go in with an $8,800 gross and then Haaland scores two goals, or Salah scores, or Foden has a goal and two assists, or Diaz has a goal, or even these Chelsea players or anything? Just like, it feels as if he's like the odd man out of like someone that in a vacuum seems like a great cash play, but for his price, if Gross was 6,800, then we could see some constructions. It's just I don't know about you, Ryan, but I do not feel comfortable going into a slate. If I'm going to be paying $8,800 for a player, it's going to be a player in Liverpool or Man City.
I think so too. Yeah, I feel the same way. And like Pascal Gross, he probably has like a better, safer floor than Foden, you know, maybe by like a little bit, but yeah, I still just can't do it. I want a little bit of upside. What I was going to say is, are people really going to play Salah and Haaland on this slate?
I think
for cash.
I think Salah, I think actually Salah even though it's $500 more, has a higher floor cash wise anyway. I think playing Salah or Haaland, not both, is absolutely viable in cash.
Yeah, I think playing Salah is, I mean, I don't know. I think if you're going to play Haaland, you might as well find the 500 for Salah. That's just my opinion. I don't know. I don't think you play Haaland on the slate.
But those constructions exist. Like, to me, it's a matter of, do you spend in both forward spots? Do you spend at high at midfield? Defender is fairly, you're spending up a defender for sure, at least in two defender spots, unless you're punting at a utility spot. How much are the forward spots worth that you'd rather have them over the midfielders?
That's what I mean. They might be worth more than usual. I don't know if the cheap ones really aren't good, like what I was saying. I don't know. You know,
right. Well, that's why to not bury the lead, the only dinky to me, I think the only cheap forward that I would consider playing on the slate as of now, as of the projected lineups, is Daniel James at 4,200.
Yeah, me too. Only
but
one.
To me, 40, if he was just midfield only, there are other people I'd almost rather play at 4,200 than him. Like, his value is more that he's forward eligible, and you're more likely to play James as a second forward in a lineup that has Kevin. Like, the reason you're playing James is to play Kevin De Bruyne. If you're playing James in a cash lineup and are not playing Kevin De Bruyne, then I think you screwed up. I think that's the only reason you're playing that at forward. Because if you don't play James, it's very hard to fit in high-priced defenders and Kevin De Bruyne and then pay up twice at forward. So to me, the real question is, do you pay up twice at forward or do you play Kevin De Bruyne? I lean towards the Kevin De Bruyne sign personally, and then it just comes down to what is your pay up forward that you're playing.
Yeah,
this is and of course the caveat on this is that you also are paying up a defender. If you choose and go, I'm going to punt one defender spot, then you could kind of pay up for one forward, pay like mid rate, like you could do a build that's like Foden plus Diaz, maybe not all the way. You're not doing Foden plus Salah. You could do Foden, Diaz, De Bruyne, Trent Alexander-Arnold, punt defender. Like, you could do that. You're going to have to punt somewhere. And I'm trying to decide. To me, the decision is, do I punt at that forward spot or do I punt at that defender spot? And when the defender spot, it could also mean the utility spot. So you may be playing two high-priced defenders, but on this slate, I think you're more likely to play three defenders and pay up for three defenders anyway. So that would be like you're using your utility spot on some $300 level.
Right.
Defender, like, probably not a $300 level midfield.
Like, do you maybe, like, instead of punting Danny James, do you maybe even play a $2,500 center back in the flex? I mean, something like that could be viable on this slate. I just see this guy in the chat says, what about Kiefer Moore for $3,900? I guess it's not quite as bad as like I initially thought. He's been playing 90 minutes. It's just, you know, that matchup away to Liverpool is very tough, and his floor is much lower than Danny James. You know, Danny James isn't a great play either, obviously, and he's, you know, almost sure to get subbed as well. So, you know, it can't be that much worse.
I read your article too. I'm not that much higher on Daniel James, just looking at just the way that Liverpool played earlier in the season and that Daniel James is likely to be subbed off.
It's more of the fact from a macro perspective, like conceptually, that the larger the underdog they are, especially on the road, like the less possession they'll have. It's like, and you can't really score fantasy points without possession. So when given the choice on cheaper players, I'd rather play cheaper players on teams that actually have possession. So this Brighton Leeds and this Brentford Everton game are much closer games than the Man City, Liverpool and Chelsea game. So that's the main reason why we kind of avoid playing from a floor perspective, playing guys from Palace, from Bournemouth, from Leicester. Now for ceiling, Kiefer Moore, he could get a goal, but most likely he's not going to get many touches in the game. So from a cash level perspective, like, I think Daniel James has an easier path to 6 points than Moore does. I think Moore either scores 12 or he scores nothing. So like in cash, if given the choice, regardless of the substitution, I'd rather take the peripherals.
I still think that Bournemouth already lasts in the league in terms of possession. So like this matchup doesn't really change anything. More, he's drawn 9 fouls in 3 matches. Like he's getting even
so it
though
has to happen again because it happened in the past 3 matches. Of course,
I'm just saying, like he's not like this central striker, like I don't know, Neil Maupe, like guy that just sits forward. Like he's obviously getting back and touching the ball. He had a 6-point floor against Arsenal. They were absolutely dominated in that match. Like I think this matchup is more favorable for Bournemouth than that Arsenal match.
We're just to me, Adam. We're
like,
just
James Milner starting in the midfield.
I'm giving you credit, Adam. We're debating the difference between playing $4,200 Daniel James versus $3,900 Kiefer Moore. And the only reason we're even considering either player is because we want to get Kevin De Bruyne in a midfield spot at 10K. So really, when it comes down to it, the more important decision is, do I play any punt forward? And feel free to debate the merits between any of the 4K forwards. Take the cheapest. And to me, the difference isn't that, like, I'm making it out to be dramatic. Oh, definitely Daniel James over Kiefer Moore. And really, it's not as great as I make it out to be. Like, I don't want to play any of, like, neither of the guys I want to play. Yeah. In a perfect world, I'd rather pay up at forward, pay up at midfield, pay up at defender, and pay up at goalkeeper, have $80,000 in salary while everyone else has $50,000. But you can't do it, right? So, like, at the end of the day, just like we say with defender, like, hey, if you're going to pay $3,600 for this guy with a 3-point median, why don't you just pay $25 for the cheapest defender? Because it can't be that much. Save the $1,100. And if he gets you 1 point, you're not playing them for their median. You're just playing them because that's the only way to fit in other higher median players. So to me, the difference between those 4K forwards, go ahead. Play Kiefer Moore. Said the 3 fouls in the past 6 games.
Yeah.
The three FD points you got in the bank.
I agree with all that. But yeah, I think we need a little bit bigger sample out of Kiefer Moore. I mean, this guy, he's 6'5". He's not very mobile. He's usually the one committing the fouls. I think without a goal, you know, James puts up a bigger floor. I don't know, a high percentage of the time. But yeah, I see your point. I agree with Jordan too. Like, you know, it's one's going to score 3 and one's going to score 2 a lot of times. So it's really not that big of a difference.
So for tournaments, there's some guys here that stand out to me just in terms of not being popular. We got Ivan Toney, 8,200. Bernardo Silva, 7,500. Kai Havertz, 7,400. Firmino, 7,000.
Firmino will be owned.
Willie Firmino, okay.
Yeah,
I think he'll be the lowest. He'll be the lowest owned of the 3 Liverpool right. forwards. But he's not going to be single digit owned. To me, ownership wise, on this slate, Liverpool is going to be the highest owned team, more than Man City, and it's a byproduct of price and position, right? Because you get the good defenders. You could still pay up the same price for the other Liverpool. You're more likely to be correlated, right? If you're playing Alexander-Arnold or Robertson or both of them, it's like, well, why wouldn't you be playing Firmino? Why wouldn't you like, why wouldn't you be, you're looking to get goals and the assists from them. So like, you're more likely to do that. So I think the Man City guys, I mean, Haaland will be popular still. Foden will be popular, assuming he starts, right? I think, basically, I'm gonna live my entire season on fading Ivan Toney when he's over 8,000, because he'll rarely ever be on a slate where he's worth that price, and then let him burn me. I think Rodrigo will be much higher owned than he should be on this slate just based on the game logs. So I'm probably not gonna play him. I'm playing like 6 or 7 lineups in GPP tomorrow. The guys, to me, some will say that playing someone like Danny Welbeck or obviously the underdog forwards like Vardy and those types of guys, they'll be low owned. But of course, you're playing very heavy underdogs. But I'm talking about out of the ones that aren't underdogs, I think guys like Gordon and Toney and Welbeck and to some extent Rodrigo, although I think he'll still be double digit owned. people may look at that. To me, I think the best GPP plays, if you want to call it that, on the slate, is the Chelsea front line, because they're in a much better spot than Brighton or Brentford or all the other. I mean, like, there's no reason why. Like, I think Mason Mount, when we get to midfield, goes under-owned because more people are playing De Bruyne. So, like, playing a Havertz, Mount, Sterling lineup, something like that, like playing George, I mean, we'll get to the midfield. So, like, you could build a Chelsea stack with, like, four or five players and actually be, like, a little bit cheaper than Liverpool and much cheaper than Man City. And you could do that while still playing one of those players. Like, you can build, like, a whole front line of Chelsea while still playing Trent Alexander-Arnold. Like,
that's when Thiago Silva and Azpilicueta score. So that's the only problem.
Who says you can't play those guys?
All right, just do nine Chelsea guys. That's all you need.
No, but Ryan, do you agree that in comparison to their ceiling expectation, although Chelsea is lower than Man City and Liverpool, in comparison to Brighton, Leeds, Brentford, and Everton, I don't think the Chelsea players. I could easily see Sterling and Havertz being single digit owned this slate, and Mount maybe not more than 15% owned on this slate, because we got all these Man City and Liverpool guys that are going to be 20, 30, 40% owned. I mean, like, how is it possible for these Chelsea guys to be owned?
It's not possible. Yeah, the first thing I thought when I just skimmed forward was that Havertz was one of the better GPPs on the slate, and Sterling as well. Sterling's a little bit more expensive, so he'll probably be even less popular than Havertz. But yeah, I agree. That's the first thing that I thought of. As far as these other guys, I agree with Jack. Jack in the chat, no one's going to play my guy Mbeumo, and I like the price tag and I like the matchup. So, you know, I'm looking to play a couple guys from there. I agree with Jordan. Rodrigo, not for me on this slate with that game log. Ivan Tony, I don't play Tony either. He's like a Jamie Vardy type for me.
Well, I mean, you'd play him if it was 5,000.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely. He's always 8,500 and has, you know, higher ownership than you'd think he'd have. So yeah, right. If he was cheaper, I'd play him. So yeah, I like the Anthony Gordon, Mbeumo, and yeah, like Kai Havertz. Kai Havertz, especially as like the default center forward for Chelsea. I mean, I think he has the best chance to score two.
This reminds me, this slate almost reminds me a little bit of the King of the Pitch slate.
Yeah.
I mean, minus Arsenal on the slate, but it reminds me of, like, a lot of people are playing Man City, a lot of people are playing Liverpool, and you know what I did? Play Chelsea and Arsenal, right? I mean, like, kind of like finding that combination.
Yep.
I do want to say Ryan mentioned Mahrez in his article, but I'm fairly certain Mahrez is not going to start, so we shouldn't have to worry about that. But as we saw last season, Pep liked to do Mahrez midweek and then not over the weekend, which is why he always dominated Champions League slates. But he went 90 in a friendly against Barcelona on Wednesday, I believe it was. So I doubt he's going to start.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I put that in there because that's late 2 weeks ago. We talked for like 45 minutes about City. Of course, don't mention Mahrez once, and then he starts on Saturday. You know, that happens all the time.
I think we mentioned him.
I think you did. Yeah. You
he was
sure
in my projected 11.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Maybe not, but that's happened before.
For midfield, Ryan, on this slate, just to move on, do you view this as a, like, it's basically De Bruyne to some consideration Mount, and then if you're not paying for either of those, like, there's nothing in between that, and like, till you get down to maybe like 5,300.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah, and I think Mount is probably, you know, like, if Chilwell's back in there and Reece James on the wing, you know, Mount is probably even a little too risky from a cash game perspective. But yeah, otherwise, KDB, Mount, and then all the way down. I mean, we can talk about some of these other guys, but it's another one of those things that you mentioned with Gross. Do you really want to pay significant salary for someone on a team that's not Liverpool or City? I don't know.
Right, because I look at the range of those guys, like Harrison at 7,300, Damari Gray at 6,900, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, Gundogan is there at 7,100. At least he's on Man City, but I don't think he's worth 70 necessarily 7,100. Make him a little bit lower owned for GPPs. But like in a vacuum, it's like, yeah, I'd love to play Damari Gray, right? Mm-hmm. Away to Brentford?
Not bad.
Not bad, but still in comparison to playing, you know, like what sacrifices do you need to make in order to get Gray into your lineup? So essentially, to me, I view these players, I'm comparing guys like Harrison and Gray and McNeil, even if he started, or Gordon, like these types of guys in this range, comparable to the defenders. So like, would I rather play Gray at 6,900 or would I rather play Trent Alexander-Arnold at 8,000 or would I rather play Robertson at 6,000? Like, to me, in order to play one of these midfielders, you have to sacrifice one of those defenders. Now, it's not a matter of like, well, do you play Gray and Harrison over De Bruyne in a midfield spot? I think that's an easy answer there that you don't do that. So I think you're only in a cash build, you're more likely to have De Bruyne and then not even if you're spending in this range of 6 to 7K, you're spending it on a defender. And your other midfield spot, you're going down. It's just depending on how far down you're going. And I think you could go far. I think it's kind of weird to say. I think you're more likely to go far down at midfield or at defender more so than forward. That's why that first question on the slate was, is forward too kind of almost too valuable from a ceiling perspective to even punt there?
I know. It's tough.
So you guys are completely off of this 2 weeks ago. You guys were all about, I don't like Kevin De Bruyne that much. He's in a different role and all this stuff. And I didn't agree with either of you, but you guys kept going on this train. But now 2 weeks later, you know, he's the best player in the game and he's in my lineup.
More so me.
All right. Sorry.
But yeah, I mean, I'll take the L on that.
He used the Gareth Barry postulate of recent evidence, right? An old school reference on this show.
Yeah.
When he plays and doesn't take any set pieces, you go, why am I paying 10K? Like his upside is obviously still there from open play, but it's like,
but we're not playing these Man City guys for set pieces, really. I mean, when it comes down to it.
Well, in cash that week. But in general. That one looks pretty stupid. I don't know. But I mean, I know I say this all the time, but I always rostered De Bruyne. I probably rostered him at a higher percentage than anyone else who plays multiple GPP lineups last year. I wrote him up in every single article, pretty much said he was the best player in the league every week. And then, you know, I see week one, everybody takes a set piece from him and then, you know, jump off. I remember jumping off him one time last year, one time on a podcast too. And the same thing happened. You know, he just goes out and crushes the next week and takes all the sets. So, I mean, I shouldn't question it, I guess.
We're getting a question here about Pulisic. I'm not sure, you know, like how much, what this means here, 7,900. I mean, it's just like a guy in Chelsea. He's going to get 60 to 70 minutes. I don't think it really matters if he's midfield or forward.
On the field, actually, I kind of like this question because I was thinking about this the other day. Not from a DK perspective. Pulisic has gotten like a raw deal at Chelsea. He played, he's been a bit unfairly criticized. He was great in their Champions League run. I mean, really good. And he just never got the game time. Think of Chelsea for a second under Tuchel. I mean, this is where attacking players go to die. Look what happened to Lukaku. Look what happened to Timo Werner. The same thing's going to happen to Raheem Sterling. I mean, he just, you know, they're in and out of the team. They don't score a lot of goals. I don't know. Like, I feel like he deserves to play. So I guess he needs a move elsewhere. More effective at forward or midfield. I mean, he's an attacking player. He's not a center forward. I mean, he's small, good dribbler. You know, he beats players, sets up other players. So on the wing, the attacking wing, he could probably play the center too. I mean, but yeah, enough of that. If he starts for 7,900, play him as well. He's almost just as good a play as Havertz.
Yeah, that Chelsea stack you got going. There you go.
Yeah.
So if you guys are stuck in this 7K range, we already mentioned Gray, kind of bit and Bueno, but we also have – so Firmino's in this range, but we haven't really mentioned Gundogan. Gundogan here, 7,100. it seems like, I mean, it worked. I think it worked for Jordan 2 weeks ago where, I mean, sure, he was cheaper then, but he's still going to be like this Man City guy that isn't as popular as his teammates. But like, he has still plenty of upside because he plays for City. But
well, that's a GPP play. But I mean, no way. And I'm not playing $7,100 Gundogan in my cash lineup. I'm looking more in the midfield spot. Okay, you're going to have to pay less. Now, the consideration here, I'm going to list off a whole bunch of players that I think are viable for cash games. 5,300 and below. The consideration that you need to make is that is one significantly worth more than the others for $1,500 more? Like, to me, it's very similar to what we do at Defender when a $4,500 Defender fullback. It's like, okay, that's pretty good. But it's like, is he that much better than a $3,000 center back? Like, is the $1,500 worth it? So
right.
I look down here. The first person I see is Brendan Aaronson for Leeds at 5,300, who, yes, has a little bit lower floor than Jack Harrison, but it's $2,000 cheaper. Does take some of their set pieces on one side. Maybe might not play 90, but he's been playing 80 plus in games. It's a way to Brighton. Not great matchup, but it's still not one of the big underdogs. So I don't mind him. Is he a priority? Absolutely not. And then I go down and go, how about Harvey Elliott at 5,000? He plays in the Liverpool midfield three, which I'm not a big fan of playing players from, but they're such a big favorite that they're going to have a ton of possession. So maybe more shots assisted, maybe more fouls drawn, maybe more tackles won. So, you know, I don't mind playing Harvey Elliott. Much more so than we'll talk about their other two midfielders who tend to be a little bit more deep lying. Then we have the Chelsea midfielders, Loftus-Cheek. And this is dependent on whether or not Kovacic is going to play or not. But I mean,
he's not going to start.
He's not going to start. Okay.
Tuchel said 20 minutes max.
Conte's out, right? So we don't have to worry about that. So most likely it'll be Loftus-Cheek and Jorginho. Loftus-Cheek has much as better open play value, but Jorginho on penalties, like, That could bail you out very easily. So I don't mind punting. None of the guys that you're going to be playing in this slot have like the greatest of floors. So you're really just determining like combining their 3 or 4 point floor with their upside. Like, yeah, you could. Yes. Solly March is there. Does Solly March have a higher floor than Jorginho? Yes. But like nowhere near the upside of Jorginho because he's not on penalties. Right. So I'm really like the guys that are on Man City or Liverpool or even Chelsea are worth more just from a goal scoring perspective that if I had to shoot the difference of a half a point in median, I'd rather take the guy that is more likely to score a goal. So outside of those, I could go down even further and then play. So, I mean, you could play Jordan Henderson or Fabinho, 3,800 for Henderson, 3,400 for Fabinho. No, it's, they're there, but at least they're playing on a team that is projected to score 2.5+ goals. They're going to have a lot of possession. Like at this point, you're playing these guys because that's the only way to fit in. Trent Alexander-Arnold, another high-priced defender, a high-priced forward. Like it's just for lineup construction purposes. And like what, like so many of these other players, like would I play Daniel James at 4,200 over any of these guys? No. I wouldn't. If it was just for the fact that Daniel James is forward eligible, I wouldn't. But it's like, do you play Moises Caicedo instead? It's like, why would you do that? Or Marcus Tavernier. Oh, he has the majority of set pieces for the team that is most likely going to get like none of them. Right. So why do I care that much about it? So like, to me, I could see myself, you could play two of these guys. So instead of punting at a defender spot in your like utility, you play Fabinho there instead. Right. At 3,400. Right. So is there anyone else, Ryan, that you see? Like, have I kind of listed like all the guys that I think are viable? But the question really comes down to, like, is Harvey Elliott worth $1,600 more than Fabinho?
Right.
Is Aaronson worth 1,500? What is it? 1,500? 1,500 more than Jordan Henderson. Like,
right.
At $1,500, I could put to get the best goalkeeper
what you said at the start, like from 5,300 down, like are any of these guys, you know, worth significantly more than these 4k guys and then the 3k guys below them? Like it's literally, it's the exact reason why I pretty much never wrote up João Moutinho for 4,400 because I could always find a $3,500 player that would, you know, at a 1 point less projection or something in my mind, at least. So yeah, anyways, no, I don't think you missed anyone. Like, just go all the way down and play Fabinho. I mean, it's, you know, you like you said, you're playing him for a purpose and he just happens to be on the biggest favorite as well. It's not often you can play a $3,400 midfielder on a team that's favored by that much.
In comparison, Rodri is 6,200.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Right. So like you're essentially, I mean, Rodri is Fabinho. I mean, like it's the same type of player. So why the hell are you paying? No one's going to play. I mean, he's going to be really low owned.
Right. No one's going to play Rodri. I don't know. What do you think, Adam? Any of these guys stand out for you?
I got a couple questions for Jordan here. So 2 weeks ago, you mentioned McAllister. Did you play McAllister last week when he scored? I believe this is Sunday. He scored against West Ham.
No, I typically don't play on Sundays.
Okay. All right. And then
I did play him the week before when he didn't score.
Right. Yeah, that was when we had that conversation. And then so
McAllister has no floor. I could understand playing McAllister in GPPs, but I mean, the way that they're the formation and their system works at Brighton now with Lallana like in front of him and with the wing backs and three defensive center backs, like, yeah, McAllister will probably be on penalties and he will take, he's Ruben Neves now. Right, he's that type of player. Like he's a box to box midfielder that will get some deeper shots, or you know, run into the box from deep, like late for that type of stuff. But from a peripheral standpoint,
yeah,
like outside
he scored
of
a pen
with PKs. Yeah,
he scored a pen. That was his goal. Was
right.
A penalty.
Well, that's what
so,
I'm
yeah.
talking about.
Right.
And then, so you mentioned you don't like playing like a Harvey Elliott in like a central midfield role. We had the conversation. I don't know if it must have been last week about Dewsbury Hall, and you were talking about playing him in that same role. So what is it going to be? Do you like playing these guys, or do you not like playing these guys?
You're not getting the context of what I was talking about. I was talking about playing Dewsbury Hall because it was leverage on James Maddison, not because Dewsbury Hall is good. Right?
It's for well, yeah, Harvey Elliott's going to be leverage on the Liverpool forward.
I think Harvey Elliott's going to be plenty owned. Trust me, because he's going to be in a lot of my GPP lineup. So don't worry about Harvey being like none of these Liverpool. I don't think any of these Liverpool guys are leverage. I don't think literally any Liverpool player is. They're all going to be owned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I could literally see every single Liverpool player being double digit owned. Every single one of them. Even Henderson. Maybe not huge. He'll be 10% owned. Even Van Dijk, he'll be 10% owned, right? I think all of the Liverpool players will be above. So you're not, where's the leverage there? Like, how much leverage can you really get? Playing Rodri instead of De Bruyne? Yeah, that, there you go. And we're going to go like, why are you paying a $6,200 for Rodri?
That's your
leverage.
You're
not doing it because he's Rodri. You're just doing it because if Man City score and it's not through De Bruyne or Haaland or the I own guys, maybe it's through the guy that, maybe it's Gundogan. That's why I played Gundogan that slate. So it's not just why don't you like this? It's not for a soccer reason. It's purely for a game theory reason.
Well, for just to touch on that from a soccer reason, just sticking with Dewsbury Hall and Harvey Elliott, like two completely different situations. I mean, on a per 90-minute basis, Harvey Elliott's floor is like at least five points higher than Dewsbury Hall was. I mean, Harvey Elliott, if Henderson and Fabinho start in that midfield as well, the way that Liverpool are probably going to dominate, I mean, he's going to be in and around the box, assisting shots and taking shots. Like, I mean, so much more than Dewsbury Hall or whoever started in Leicester in that position.
Yeah, I think a comparison here.
Like I said, if you landed on Harvey Elliott or only had 5K left, like going back to that question we just had, he's the best play in that range, in my opinion. He's probably significantly better than those 3K midfielders if you can afford it, and he has a lot more upside too. So I'd be fine going there. Like, again, he's not, like, safe because there's sub-risk and he's a little more expensive. But
I will say,
but in that range, Ryan, there's no one that's safe. If there was anyone that's safe, we'd be like, plug him in and build
right.
a line around it.
Right,
so, yeah.
Yeah,
I agree with you. If I had to choose between Loftus-Cheek, Jorginho, Aronson, or Elliott, Elliott would be number one to me.
Yeah, agreed. And then this guy, I see a question, this champ grind. He said, you know, maybe Salah gets subbed early, so Fabinho takes pens. You know, that is something I think about. And Fabinho, yes, he takes all the pens when Salah's not in there. This slate specifically, and Liverpool having Darwin Nunez out and Jota out, and Liverpool not having one yet, I don't see Salah getting subbed here. Like, they're out to smash. Salah's like, you know, this is the spot. These are the spots where Klopp like wants to get him his hat trick. And, you know, he's pissed off if he gets subbed in these spots. So like, I don't expect that, but still a good point.
Yeah. I was going to say, so Harvey Elliott's 5K and basically he's replacing Thiago, who is 6,300. So that kind of explains everything right there. He also went 90 last match, whereas like Henderson,
And Keita, Elliott's an even more attacking player than Thiago.
Yeah, like even those other guys are even getting subbed off more than he's been. So that's another boost. But
we're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We talked a little bit about defender, and it seems like we're going to do, at least in cash games, you know, three defenders, plug them in. Ryan mentioned earlier, we got TAA, Chilwell, Robertson. We still have Reece James up here at 7,800. So the question I guess I have for you guys, if we get like Chilwell and Reece James on the wings, and then so we have Cucurella, we have whoever, Azpilicueta, Thiago Silva, the back three for Chelsea. Are you guys looking at James or Chilwell? Does that just add to the equation there for defenders?
To me, the Chelsea stuff, for the context of this slate, to me, there's so much uncertainty there. There's so much variance in their set piece taking situation. Dude, why aren't I just plugging in Trent Alexander-Arnold and Andrew Robertson? And If I could get up to the wingbacks for Chelsea, sure. I don't think I could get up to Reece James at 7,800, but I think I could do Ben Chilwell at 6,300. I think outside of what we're talking about right now, if you're not playing those guys, you're punting at defense. I mean, like, there's nothing in between. Like, I don't think Cancelo, I guess, is a, like, maybe 55, maybe. I mean, like, he's there. So I don't think you're stupid, but I think outside of that, you're going all the way down to like the 3K range. The question comes in is that like Reece James is priced as if we know that he will be taking at least half of their set pieces. Mm-hmm. So like, that's the best case scenario, right? I mean, like to me, even if Chilwell wasn't in, that's kind of the best case scenario with Mount there. And now once you put Chilwell down there, now if Chilwell was taking half of the set pieces, he's not priced for taking half. He's priced for his like open play value at 6,300. He would normally be priced at 7,800 if he took half the set pieces. Same for Mount. Mount is priced for taking half of their set pieces. So like these Chelsea players, if you think there's uncertainty, I'd much rather play the guy that is more underpriced for his role. So in a worst case scenario, I get a high value open play Chilwell that has not taken a corner. And I'm like, for 6,300, is it the best use of your money? No, but it's not a horrible use of your money. If we get one of those situations where Reece James is playing as one of the three center backs, why? We had that last year. I'm not saying for this particular game. And I saw people paying $7,800 for a guy that got 5 points. And it's like, well, that's what you get in those types of situations. What are they priced for? What is the best case scenario? What is the worst case scenario? And I'm much more likely, especially if James is going to be somewhat popular. He's not going to be as popular as Alexander Arnold. But if he's going to be even GPP 20, 22, 25% owned, like, dude, I'm perfectly fine having him in zero lineups and then just, no, I'll play Chilwell. I'll play someone else because it's going to be very hard for you to reach that price tag without, you know, some type of bailout, which who knows, Reece James could get that, you know, that goal or two assists or something from open play. His open play value is great. It's just that he's not, if he was 6,300, I'd be like, okay, but 7,800, I just feel he's not a priority on this slate. We got other guys to use.
Yeah, for cash games, I agree. Like the safety of Alexander Arnold and Robertson, but yeah, Adam, for GPPs, that those Chelsea guys, yeah, James and Cho on the wing throw a wrench into it for me. Like,
I think I think GPPs though they might be my favorite place if they're both on the wings because usually
like, just to touch on James. Yeah. James had 17 crosses in the first week. Mason Mount didn't take a set piece. Now, since then, it's been reversed. Reece hasn't taken any. Now, also, though, Reece has been in the back three, or at least starting games there. He's ended games on the wing because Chelsea have needed some attacking. But, you know, I don't know. Does he take them when he's on the wing and not when he's in the back three? Maybe
that's what it seems like.
Yeah. He also
but what happened, Ryan? But what happened with, because I didn't watch the game. What happened in the game where Cucurella was taking corners?
Yeah, him and you know,
well, left sided.
Yeah, Cucurella's left footed, so he took a few of those left sided corners, and then James just took everything else, and Mount took nothing. And no, you know,
in that game, Mount took four of them, and James took one. It's on the cheat sheet.
I mean, which
you
game
can get at rotowire.com/soccer trial.
Right, wait, wait.
No credit card required.
Yeah, no, but James was in the back three that game. That's what I said, okay. Right? Yeah, and he had 17 when he started on the wing.
Cucurella, Mount came off early at 65, and Cucurella didn't come in until the last 15. Chilwell was in for 65, and he got two. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, we're trying to analyze this situation of what are they going to do this next game, and we're not sure.
Well,
I think if James is on the wing, he's going to take right-sided corners. I think that's kind of what we saw last season.
Honestly,
not?
Yeah, that would be my guess, too. That would be my guess. Now, right, there is uncertainty, but that would be my guess. But, like, James for tournaments, like, I pulled that move that Jordan is talking about, just, like, full fading Reece in these spots times last season, and man, he punished me quite a bit. I mean, he does have
he won like you $100,000, remember that,
true, on that last assist. You know, I always say, like, he does have like a higher ceiling than Alexander Arnold. Like, he'll score more goals from open play. I don't know if he does in this spot because it's so good for Liverpool, but just usually. So yeah, for GPPs, I'll probably have to mix him in a little bit. For cash, definitely just the Liverpool guys. Just a couple of questions here. I see Castagna semi-punt. I mean, not for me. He has no floor. Like, if I'm – I would just go cheaper. Like, just go Pascal.
It's 3,600.
Stroik in that range.
Now, even you could go even cheap. Dude, you could go even cheaper. Play Christensen.
Sure. 2,700. Christensen, 2,700. I didn't even see that. I didn't even think –
Right, you had to go even further down to find him because obviously he's a much more. I mean,
right?
At least, like, Stroik is really a center back that's playing as a fullback. Christensen is a little bit more of a fullback.
That's hilarious. Say, yeah, if anybody reads my article, it would have been Christensen had I known that he was priced below Stroik, but I didn't think it was possible, so I didn't even check. This guy, I see a question in the chat, or you guys talking about Luis Diaz. This guy says, hoping Luis Diaz owners don't get bailed out by a goal because his floor is minimal. I don't agree with this.
He's comment. Like plus 110 to score.
Well, it's not even about the goal. Just Diaz, yeah. Like, don't look at just those first few games. Diaz has a floor in this spot. And I see, like, I know you're comparing him with Foden. And like, so I would expect Diaz to have like a few more peripheral points than Foden, just based on like what happens from, you know, chances created in open play. So like Foden's sets might only even out their floors, or, you know, so I don't think it's like as cut and dry as you think, is like just Foden over Diaz for sure. This is a great spot for Liverpool, and the way Diaz plays, well, he's going to rack up shots assisted and shots. I mean, he takes long shots, he draws fouls. I mean, and he's probably going to play 90 minutes with the way Liverpool's bench is. So I would not call a Diaz goal a bailout. Like, he's got a floor and he's cheap.
At these punt defenders, I mean, if you don't play Christensen, I'm not saying Christensen is even a great play, just like, okay, he's on Leeds, he does play wide, he's 2,700. But like, I've no problem punting. Like, if you, let's say, instead of, what do you think is better? If you have a utility spot open, do you play Fabinho or do you play Virgil van Dijk? Or do you play Ruben Diaz or John Stones? I mean, like, Ruben Diaz is 3,500. John Stones is 3,200. Van Dijk is 3,700. You could even play, like, Thiago Silva at 3,300. Like, these, I mean, I think Thiago Silva is a little bit different. Chelsea's less of a favorite. But these big, like, who says that Van Dijk doesn't score a goal and get a clean sheet and has three tackles won? Like, the floors even of these, of a center back like Van Dijk, like, could be, with the clean sheet equity, 6-7 points. Mm-hmm. On this slate, like, who says, like, why, if you're going to punt, why not punt with one of these guys? Cause they're cheap enough. Like, Joe Gomez is 4,000. That's a little bit of a joke. So like, when people are pointing out, oh, why don't we punt with the fullback on the biggest underdog? It's like, no, I'll punt with the same priced center back on the favorite. Cause for two reasons, one, their floor is higher because they'll have more possession. Which, and I know it sounds weird, but that's like a point and a half of just passing, right? I mean, it's we don't never talk about these passing.
Right, right.
It's like, at least you get that. You probably get, you're getting on average a point and a half from the clean sheet odds, right?
And you're definitely getting more shots out of them in these
right.
spots.
Exactly. In the set pieces, maybe you get one shot on goal. Maybe you get two shots. And yep. if one of them turns into a goal, then you're gold. So, like, I don't even consider, like, oh, well, can you play Nathaniel Klein at 3,100? Like, what are you doing? Like, if you're going to play a fullback like that at that price, I'd rather play one from Leeds, right? I'd rather play one from, you know, like, the Brentford ones are just to, like, Henry and Hickey. Like, why am I paying 4,700? It's like, I'll just play Christensen at 2,700 if that's the case. Or Mikalenko or Patterson. It's like, it's not really the type of slate where they're worth so much more than the 3K guys that I'm perfectly fine playing one of the heavy favorite center backs when they're priced under 4,000. We've seen a lot of times Van Dijk in this spot would be priced 4,700 and be mm-hmm. like, well, I don't know about that. But at 3,700, John Stones at 3,200?
Yeah, okay, no, I totally agree. I'd rather have those favorite center backs than those guys from underdogs, but I think you probably would rather have Fabinho than the center backs if that was a question for you.
Because people are mentioning, like, Castagna is like, he's 3,600. Yeah, like, what are you
right?
doing?
This guy says, just based on that, do you expect Diaz to carry more ownership than Foden? What do you think? Diaz,
I
Foden,
think
ownership?
In GPPs, similar. I think they'll be close.
I think they'll be similar to similar where you shouldn't worry about it, is what I would say. I was gonna say Joao Cancelo, just in general, he's lulling us to sleep a little bit with his game log and these performances, but, you know, he's gonna 5,500, you know, we saw him get up to in the 7K range last year. He's gonna have games with goals and games with assists and score 20 plus plenty of times, and his ownership is gonna fall just based on the opportunity cost and based on his game log a little bit. And, you know, if you're looking for weird things that I look for. You know, I normally don't play right backs against Wilf Zaha, but he's out now. So, I mean, that's just, you know, nothing to worry about for Cancelo over there. It's good tournament play. Maybe single-digit ownership.
I don't know. Maybe, like you say, I think Cancelo will still be
okay. 10-15%. Okay. I'm not good at guessing ownership. I just see all these other guys. And, I mean, to be honest, I don't really want to play Cancelo either. I'm just saying.
But it's more, Ryan, of a byproduct of the Man City ownership. So if Haaland is going to be owned and Foden's going to be owned and De Bruyne's going to be owned, and it's like, well, they're going to pair Man City's going to be owned. So people are going to find a way to put, well, I'm going to play Cancelo and Ederson in this lineup. Like, that's how, like, it's just a correlation of the other owned players. That's why the Chelsea guys are going to be less. That's why I think, like, guys like Firmino and Diaz will be more owned, because they're going to be more lineups that have Alexander-Arnold and Robertson in it, but they're going to be less lineups that have Chilwell and James in it. And there's in the same way, like, you take a look at like Brentford. Like, dude, who's playing anyone? Like there's no one on Brentford that's going to really be owned. So, like,
right.
Like, how owned can Buemo and Tony really be? Because there's no, like, cheap players on them. And you look at Brighton, and you go, how owned is Alexis McAllister going to be? Like, no one's playing enough Brighton that they're pairing these guys together. But on Liverpool, it's like yeah, you're going to have a lot of lineups with Alexander-Arnold in it, and they're going to go, well, who does he assist the goal to? Well, Firmino or Diaz. So, like, Cancelo works alongside. People go, I'm not going to play De Bruyne in my lineup. I'm going to play a Cancelo, Haaland, Bernardo lineup instead, right, for leverage, because Foden and De Bruyne are going to be higher owned, and go, okay, Haaland scores two goals and Cancelo gets the assists.
Yeah.
It'll naturally increase the ownership.
Yeah, and my bad. Cancelo is playing on the left these days. So I forgot Walker's back in there. My bad. Anyways, point still stands.
One thing I want to say before we get to goalkeepers, we haven't really mentioned anything about Leicester, but James Maddison, he felt a twinge somewhere in his body and is a late fitness test for this match. So
accurate reporting, somewhere in his body.
Brendan Rodgers actually didn't say where it was, but so you include that if James Maddison doesn't start, Tielemans was benched last weekend because he's been in rumors. Fofana is going to be out again. Like, maybe their three best players Leicester could be without in this spot. So it's something I would look at. Just it supports Jordan's, you know, full-on Chelsea stack right
definitely.
There.
Definitely.
Or it could support playing Dewsbury Hall at 4,000.
No. Yeah, that's also in there as well.
So. No, good point, Adam. And it reminded me to ask you, you know, speaking of, you know, quote-unquote spots, and, you know, maybe that ends up being a good spot for Chelsea if all those guys are out. Yeah, they'll thrash Leicester a lot of times if that happens. But Manchester City, Crystal Palace, you know, City didn't score against Palace.
Prior results don't matter, Ryan.
Prior
don't
results, bring this up. Adam, they were shut out. They were shut out twice. Does this? Are you thinking about this at all?
Am I thinking about this?
Yeah, well, I mean, I was waiting for you to bring it up, to be honest, because I mean, it was a big
story. It doesn't fit his narrative. He only brings up these small sample trends when they support the things.
If you want my take on this match, my betting article is on rotowire.com. I have a bet on this match for my tournaments. I think I'm going to fade Manchester City. So you have my decision there. I'm higher on Liverpool, and if Maddison and Tielemans don't start, I will be high on Chelsea as well. So there you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ryan, do you believe in cash games that you should make it a priority to play Alisson or Ederson? And I Alisson has better win and clean sheet odds for $100 less. So I'm more likely to play Alisson.
Yeah.
Would you, if you had the difference between playing Harvey Elliott or Fabinho and then playing like Meslier instead of Alisson, to me, I on this slate, when you have two very clear high win and high clean sheet equity goalkeepers, to me, outside of like prioritizing Kevin De Bruyne and Trent Alexander-Arnold, I think my third priority is to plug in Alisson at 5,800 and if that means I have to go down to Christensen at a spot, then that's fine. Rather than take my chances on any of the other goalkeepers who could easily outscore. And remember, goalkeeper has a lot of variance.
Yeah. But
I kind of don't want to be stuck with these two goalkeepers that have a very good shot at scoring 10 to 12 or 14 points. And then getting a goalkeeper that gives up two goals has minus two in my cash games, especially when 80% of the field has double digits in their goalkeeper spot.
Okay. So yeah, I definitely wanted to hear your thoughts on keeper on this slate. The first thing, like, is 80% of the field really going to pay up? I mean, it seems tough to pay up. To answer your first question, if the decision was Harvey Elliott and, like, Meslier or paying up and still getting one of the other Liverpool midfielders, then, yeah, I'd pay up in that spot. I'd pay up if – but if I – you know, what if you already have Fabinho and, you know, you already have – Danny James, and you've already punted two spots and you still can't spend up. I mean, there's a lot to pay for. I don't know, like, paying up, I don't think I have the answer for this one, because
I side with Saramek.
I was leaning no here.
Paying up a goalkeeper for cash games, for double ups, is more worth it, because the favorites become more big favorites. You could do the data analysis and see this.
Yeah.
The bigger the favorite, the bigger the clean sheet odds, the wider the line, the less variant that goalkeeper's results would be, the more normal their
distribution. I agree. Trust me. I agree. But what I'm saying is, you know, getting those extra 8-10 points at keeper, is that worth it for that salary?
To me, it is.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a
two, it's a goal. To me, I view it as I'm plugging in a goal into my lineups in the goalkeeper spot, and you have to find a goal in the rest of your lineup by taking a shot on the dog keepers.
Right. Okay. I'm just interested to see where you do it. Like, you know, because I don't know if you don't play De Bruyne, like.
No, I'm still in my lineup. I have my lineup up.
Okay, De Bruyne, right?
I'm playing De Bruyne and Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Okay, you're going to play both them, right? So if you're going to pay up at keeper and not play one of them, like, okay, that's where I'll beat you. Okay, but so you're going to pay up, or you're going to play De Bruyne and Alexander-Arnold and pay up at keeper. So, yeah. Like, I don't know. I'll take Ben Chilwell or Andrew Robertson over your... whoever it is, and can
you're basically taking him over the keeper, over the
well.
You're
I'm just saying, I'm just saying the difference between my expensive defender and your cheap defender versus the difference between an expensive goalie and a cheap goalie. Like, where's there a bigger gap? I don't know. Am I going to get rid of a player that has 20 plus point upside for a keeper where maybe I can get like a 10 point differential, maybe 12, 14, if I'm lucky, if the other keepers score negative, but or else, like, a lot of times, I mean, they might score the same. I mean, there's a lot of saves to be had in these spots for these cheap keepers. Yeah. There's a lot of variance. I understand that you can end up with -6, -8. But I don't know. I don't think this is the best question for me, but I was leaning towards maybe not paying up. I don't know.
Well, I have a lineup in front of me that I play De Bruyne, I play Alexander-Arnold, I play Robertson, I play Alisson. And you could substitute Robertson for Chilwell if you want. I play Phil Foden.
Mm-hmm.
I could still play all those guys.
Okay, so who are you missing? One of the defenders?
Yeah, I'm not giving away all my slots.
Right, I know. I know.
But there is a way. And if you don't want to play Roberts, but the way to do it is you're not paying up three times for defender. Like, that's right. What you're sacrificing.
Right, right.
And the midfielder that you play in that lineup, you could play Elliott. You could also play Jorginho, Loftus-Cheek, Fabinho.
Okay, I found the construction. I found the 2v2.
Did you find the lineup that I'm kind of
like? Yeah, and I'm not going to, you know, of course, I won't say what it is, but obviously it's very easy. I mean, I gave away the lineup at the start. Yeah, you know, maybe I feel more comfortable with that lineup. Maybe. It's a very close decision. The fact that I like these punts on Liverpool probably more than others. I'm talking about the 3K midfielders. Yeah, I could maybe get behind that construction. Yeah, this is why I wanted to talk about
exactly the reason why you kind of fit with the lineup that I made kind of and you're looking at.
Yeah,
you feel safer because it's like
I feel safer. I do. Yeah,
right. You feel safer. Yeah, but I understand why your lineup construction has.
Trust me. Yeah, PvP I hate playing like the Gaeta or the Travers in cash. Like, I don't do that. I'm not the guy that does that. So I do feel safer with your construction.
But this is also a slate where you feel safe in your construction and just by random chance, you lose by 40 points.
right.
I mean, this is like, oh, this looks good. But if you just replaced Jorginho with Fabinho and placed Foden with Salah, you scored 62 more points. I mean, like that could be the difference of like 30% of your cash opponents have Salah with 48 points and you don't have that. Right. And while you have De Bruyne's 26 points, you don't have Haaland's 32 points either. Like it's going to be one of those slates where you could, you could make multiple very sound cash lineups that will have an extremely wide range of outcomes.
Yep.
All right, I think that's all we got here. Do we want to say anything else? Do we? You guys got it all. Your goalkeeper talk. You guys good with that, or anything else you want to add here?
I want my see. Do you have upside for a goalkeeper? Because last week I played Pickford, and he got an assist. So you always have to consider the assist upside.
He lost a clean sheet in the 80th minute, and then like 5 minutes later, he got an assist. Yeah,
man, I was so tilted when he lost that clean sheet, and then he saved it with an assist to Damari Gray. Yeah, that was nice actually. I needed that. I needed that for that King of the Pitch ticket, and I did it with Zaha, which was great. After talking about Zaha on the pod, of course he goes out in the game with the lowest total and puts up like 35, scores a brace.
Oh, that's a very it's going to be a very cagey game. 3 goals in the first 20.
Yeah. Oh my God, that was so funny. I sent a message to Adam right away, just insta goals.
I forgot that was last week. All right, well that's all we got to talk about today. Saturday's 5-game slate. A lot of ways you can go. We got the big favorites, and really it depends on what team you like more. That's kind of what it comes down to. But Jordan, you can find him at BlenderHD. You can find Ryan at Ryan Belangi. I am at RotoZadroik, and you can get our cheat sheet, which we've been showing on Twitter. We've been showing on YouTube. RotoWire.com/soccer trial, free 10-day trial, no credit card required. You can see everything you need to see for this slate. And that's it. But good luck to everyone. Maybe RotoWire's the crew will get another King of the Pitch ticket this weekend. We'll see what happens.
Still waiting on yours, Adam. You're going to get one this year.
If Manchester City don't score, I may win something. If they win 5-0, I'm probably going to lose all my money. So that's all I got. But thanks, guys, for joining me. And I guess Ryan and I will be back on Monday, I believe. I don't have a time yet, but we got two slates next week, Tuesday and Wednesday. So we'll be back for those. But thanks for watching, and we'll see everyone next week, and good luck.
Thanks, guys.